Hello, my name is Thomas. I'm one of the pastors in Grace Point. If you're new here or it's your first or second time, I'd just like to welcome you guys and Merry Christmas to everyone as well. Before I start, I'd just like to pray and then we can look at Psalm 150. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, especially this time as he was born. And we knew as he grew up, he became the world savior, the Messiah that you have promised us. And it's a great time as we celebrate this time. For tonight, we just pray for the words, the scriptures that you have given us. I pray that we can listen carefully and through the Holy Spirit that you can teach us what you want us to learn for tonight. Amen. It's been a crazy December. A couple of weeks ago, as Amanda was praying, the Sydney siege, that had pretty shocked Sydney. And then, a week later, in Cairns, 8 children was murdered. And the scariest thing and the saddest thing, 8 children was murdered by the mum. And then, in Pakistan, more than 100 children were just massacred as they were going to school. All this terror, all this horror, all this evil, is there really anything on earth we can praise? Is there any reasons we should give praise for? Is there anything we can praise God for? And that's what we'll be looking at tonight's message. Today, we'll be looking at praising God. And there are 4 points to think about. And logic order is who, where, why, and how. So the first point will be, who should praise God? Second point, where to praise him? Third point, why do we praise him? And fourth and last point, how do we praise him? Psalm 150 is the final psalm out of the set of 5 psalms of praises. It's also the last psalm of the whole book. So let's have a quick overview of the 5 psalms of praise, so we can understand the context of Psalm 150. From Psalm 146 to 150, all 5 psalms start with the following sentence. Praise the Lord. Psalm 146 is an individual praise to God. The psalmist praising God because he's faithful, he's gracious, and he protects. Psalm 147 praises God as he regathers all his people and he, God, provides for them. Psalm 148, which Amanda had read for us in the prayer, calls everyone and everything to praise God because he's the creator of the whole universe. And in Psalm 149, God's people, the faithful Israelites, are to praise him because he saves them from their enemies. And now we finally come to Psalm 150. First thing we are looking at is who should praise him, which is in fact the last verse, verse 6. And let's have a look at it in this verse. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everything that has breath should be praising him. Everything that is living and could should praise him. Besides Psalms, there are many references in Old Testament as to why we should be praising God. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 5, 6, it tells us to sing praises to the Lord. And then in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, in whatever we do it for the glory and praise for God. One of God's purpose for us as his children is that we should praise him as when we serve him. In fact, praising God is one of the aspects of Christian obedience. So the psalmist writes this and putting who last is telling us that humans should be praising God. It's actually a climax of this verse. Let's look at the importance of it. From the beginning, before the fall, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the seas and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Basically, we were made in the image of God. From last week, Eugene said, we are made in his image to love and to be loved. Another reason why we are made in the image of God, because we have a unique relationship to God. We are created to live purposefully for God. And this purpose is to worship him. We are created and crafted to praise God. Therefore, there's more reasons as to why we should praise and worship him. The second point is where to praise him. And let's go back to beginning verse 1. It reads, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. When we read verse 1, we might think we should be praising God in the sanctuary in heaven. But if we read verse 1 in context with the other verses in Psalm 150 and the earlier four Psalms, we realize that God had regathered his people into their promised land. God had provided for them. God is faithful. God is gracious. God's a protector. Therefore, the location in praising God in verse 1 seems to talk about the earthly sanctuary rather than the heavenly one. But the more important question, so where is the sanctuary where we need to go today to praise God? It'd be good to have a quick overview of the Bible. We should look at the beginning of the Bible when God created the world. And let's go back to Genesis before the fall. Adam and Eve were created to praise and worship the Lord in the Garden of Eden, as we just had looked at. God met with them in the garden, but since they disobeyed God, they were thrown out of the garden. Therefore, humanity cannot use the garden to praise God and worship God. But to repair the relationship between humanity and God, God gave promises to Abraham and his descendants, which will bring blessings to the rest of humanity. Later on in the Old Testament history, God revealed himself to the prophets, like Moses. Then the Israelites are to worship God and praise him in the tabernacle, with the house of the ark. And later on, when the Israelites finally settled in their promised lands, and during the reign of King Solomon, the tabernacle was replaced by the temple. The temple would be the place where people came and worship and praise God. But things has changed after the Old Testament, as we come to see in the New Testament. It was through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus enables humanity to reach God. Jesus makes it right in our relationship with God. And therefore, Jesus is the temple which allows us to access to God. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to us, to his followers, as he promised. Through the Holy Spirit, we are able to access to God and worship and praise him. And from this result, as Christians, our bodies are the living temple where the Holy Spirit lives. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Verse 16, it starts with, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols?" And then he says, "For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, the earthly sanctuary, which we are to praise God, is in our bodies." This means we can praise God wherever we are, wherever we go. It means that we can and should praise God with our bodies. We can praise God when we are alone. We can praise God when we do our quiet times or reading the Bible. We can praise God when we pray, or even when we sing out loud in our cars when we're driving. But we're also called to praise him as a community, as God's church and his people. We come together to praise him. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. "Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven." Verse 20, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." According to Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, it says, if two or more persons comes together in the name of the Father, then God's presence is with them. And this is what we call a community, a fellowship, a church. Therefore, we can praise him as a church. We meet together on Sundays as a family, on Friday nights in our FCG groups, in community groups, or just doing life together. I go fishing with Andrew there. Because this is where brothers and sisters in Christ come together and talk about Jesus. But our future place is in worship, is in heaven, where we can give praise to the presence of our Lord. According to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 12, it says there will be a new heaven, a new earth. People from every nation, angels, will be gathered there, crying out loud praises to the one who sits on the throne. In verse 12, it says, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever." Amen. Let's go to the third point. Why do we praise him? Let's have a look at verse 2. Praise him for his act of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Why is that God should be praised in the first place? The psalmist is praising God because of his character and his deed. God's characters and deed, which are worthy of praise, can be seen in Psalm 146 to 149. God is to be praised because he's faithful. God is to be praised because he's gracious. And God should be praised because he protects. God also gathers his people and provides for his people. God is the creator of the universe. And God has saved them from his enemies. The psalmist praised God for his greatness and for what he has done. I mean, why do we watch and follow sports team and players? I know some of you guys like love soccer. Some of you guys love NBA. Some of you guys follow K-pop and singers and go to concerts and entertainment. That's all great. But we do it, isn't so we can give praise to them because we follow them. We even try to mimic them. And we know Matt Chan loves Steph Curry, who's a basketball player. And on the weekday, some of us had just played a couple of basketball games. Matt was showing his singlet, which was Steph Curry. It had the name. And then he had the jersey number, number 30. Because Matt follows and praises Steph because he's got the skills of who can shoot the basketball. He's very talented. In fact, recently, there was an article about Steph Curry rating him the best basketball shooter right now in the NBA. And even Terrence and Joe over there can't argue about this, as they had comment about this on Facebook. Because Facebook doesn't lie. So, do we also acknowledge who God is? Do we praise him for his surpassing greatness? Do we understand why he's worthy of praise? It was through Jesus' works that we are made right with God. And with that, we're able to praise and worship God. And allows us having a relationship with him. If we recognize who God is and what he has done, then we'll be praising him. From Genesis, we have just discussed that mankind was meant to praise God. But we know that's not the case today. Because of human sin, human disobedience, our rebellious nature. The results are that we end up praising other things in life than God. People follow all different kinds of idols. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21, verse 23. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. The Roman passage is so relevant to us because it describes our society today. The present society has not changed compared to the ancient society. People are still giving praises to idols, still exchanging praises to something which is other than the real God. And from what we read in verse 21, the sad thing is that people knew God, but they chose to follow their own desires, choose their own foolish hearts, following fame, work, sex, or riches instead. Basically, they are their idols, exchanging God for their idols. And that's the reason why humans do not praise the Lord, because of their own desires. We don't praise Him because we want to praise something else, which causes our hearts to fill with idols. This is because we get distracted so easy in life, quickly moving on to the next best thing. We allow the next idol in life to fill our desires and hearts. And when the interest fades, another idol replaces the previous one. It's basically a deadly cycle in life. Like this picture. Going nowhere. This hamster. Let's have a look at the last one. Is it working? How to praise God. According to the scriptures, there are two aspects of praising God. We can praise God to God, and we can praise God to others. Let's look at an example of the first aspects of praising God in verse 3. Praising with the sounding of the trumpet. Praising with the harp and lyre. Praising with the timbre and dancing. Praising with the strings and pipe. Praising with the clash of cymbals. Praising with the surrounding cymbals. In verse 3 to 5, one way we can praise God to God is by praising His name through singing. In fact, throughout the Bible, there's a lot of songs, singing, blowing of trumpets and dancing. We praise Him and worship Him as we sing songs of praises to Him. However, there are the right way and a wrong way in how we praise Him. As a passage mentioned about songs, instruments, and dancing, let's talk about the use of music to praise God. And as an example, we're talking about how music teams at church can encourage the church to praise God. A music team can either play music, which helps people to worship God and focus people to praise God, or they can distract people by directing their focus on the one who's playing the instrument. So don't get me wrong. I'm not thinking of any particular music team at church. I think the people who serve at church are great and very gifted, because I cannot play any music. I can't sing. And the amount of these guys picking songs every week and the hours practicing every week shows real dedication in serving the church. But the danger of music is, if the music team perform music when it's harder to perform. Then the music can distract our praises from God. Music is meant to help us to worship God. The words of the songs are meant to help us praise God. And therefore, if music moves us away from praising God, then I think it's played wrongly. I still remember I went to a short-term mission. A group of us were invited to attend a church during the service. And out of the blue, one guy told the church the Holy Spirit had told him to do a dance for us, as four of us. And of course he danced it. I had never felt so uncomfortable in my life. Sorry to say. In fact, my other friends who also went with me also felt the same. We were just looking at each other and scratching our heads. What is happening? I remember this really well. Because when we got back home, we all felt something was wrong. Something was not right about the service. We felt that the man who performed the dance, it was pretty good. It was contemporary. I don't know what that means, but just wanted to be praised. We all felt that God was not being praised at that moment. And everything before and after got distracted. So, whoever we serve a church, whatever we serve a church, whether it's music, ushering, leading Bible studies, praying, Bible reading, do we serve so God can be praised and be worshipped? Or do we serve to get our own praises? We must remember, once again, serving is not about me or you. It's all about other people centered and how we can help others to praise and worship God as a church, as a community. You belong to Jesus. It doesn't mean we don't thank and encourage the people who serve us. In fact, we should be thankful for them, that God has given us brothers and sisters in Christ, gifted people to serve us at church. Another way we can praise God to God is when we open the Bible and hear His name being preached at church. We can only know how to praise God properly by finding out how He wants us to praise Him. God tells us He wants us to praise Him through the Bible. Also, another way we can praise God to God is by praying to Him and lifting His name on high. In prayer, we can give glory to Him by praising to God as individuals. And we really understand the book of Psalms. Prayer is a dominant theme. Therefore, our prayers are to praise Him. And of course, we can also praise God to others in the community, a church. And this is the second aspect of praising God. And that's what we do when we come and meet on Sundays, like now. And when we meet on weeknights in our community groups or SCG, to share life with each other, to read the Bible, to open the Bible. Also, we can continue to praise God to others besides being at church. We can praise Him at home, at work, college or uni, when we go out with our friends, even when we play sports or even computer games. The way you act and witness can lead to praising God. is the way we walk and act towards our parents and friends, which will bring praises to God. So in today's talk, we learn about who, where, and why, and how should we praise God. And right now is a good time to praise Him, as Christmas has just passed. Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, because it's through His work that we are made right with God. However, praising God should be part of our daily life, and not just during Christmas season. And not just praising Him on Sundays or when we feel like it. Do we praise Him every day and live a life with holiness? The way we praise God fully is the way we conduct ourselves to others, the way we represent ourselves, and the way we serve. We conduct ourselves in a way not to look good, but that God will look good, that people will see why God should be praised. Normally, we come to God more than often when we're in trouble or something is out of our control, like the earthquake or a plane goes missing, or what's happening during December, when we go through suffering, or when we're being tested, or when life looks clouded and uncertain. We come to Him. I mean, we come to Him in our needs and ask Him to comfort and protect us, which God will do. But do we praise God during those times? There's another reason why we do not praise God, and I'm guilty of this. To be fall in a trap of not praising Him when things are great in our life, when life is so comfortable, when we finally landed that job that we want, when we got the marks to study whatever we want, or things in life just running so smoothly that we stop looking at Him, stop worshipping Him, stop praising Him. Instead, we start looking at ourselves, our pride. We did it. And forgetting God is the one who should be praised. And that's the real danger, when something good has overtaken us and then becomes bad. Something which was meant to enable us to praise God has become an object of idol. Why do we do this? If God is everything to us, if God is the center of our life, shouldn't we praise Him when we face both difficult times and good times? Because this reminds me of someone. In fact, a nation. Yes, I'm talking about Israel, the nation of the old, in the Old Testament. Sometimes we act and live are no difference to Israel, because they're forgetful. That's why we have judges. Even when we went through Samuel this year, they always forget. It's a cycle. Therefore, we needed to see God's greatness and goodness in all things in life, because there's nothing greater than Him. He's the first and the last. And the best way we can praise God is by filling our minds with His words. We need to fill up with the words within our prayers in our daily walk. So I invite the music team up so we can all praise God. Let's sing as we praise God, and as brothers and sisters in Christ, as community, as a church, let's all praise God. Amen.